Good morning. For the past month, we've been inviting any who are interested to consider baptism, either to ask questions about it or to, if you're ready, to come forward and be baptized. We were very blessed that Jeremiah Foster came forward and wanted to be baptized, really wanting to declare his faith in Jesus before us all. And that was planned and scheduled for this morning. But then he is sick, so he's not able to be here this morning. So we will reschedule that for a later date. There is no, you know, baptism Sunday, so if at any time you are interested in being baptized, we can do that whenever. You don't have to wait for a certain day for that to happen. And again, if you have any questions or whether they're, what does it mean or why be baptized or, you know, frankly, just how does it work? Do I bring a change of clothes and a towel? You know, all those kinds of things. Let me know. I'd love to chat with you about it, to talk more about that. After service this morning, there's some more refreshments out there and some tables and chairs. Please, everyone, join and come and sit and fellowship. All are welcome to come and just expand our friendship to one another and fellowship together. We moved the tables a little bit closer to the parking lot, so if that maybe could help some, it's not, hopefully not too far for some. And if you need assistance, we're welcome to bring cars to you or to escort you to your cars if that is a blessing for you. If like two or three people maybe could stay afterwards just to move tables back in, if you can, that would be great. Again, thank you so much to Zachary and Sam for all the work they've been doing in setting up and breaking down this every week. I'm very proud of you guys. Thank you so much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your love. You gave us the Bible because you love us, and you want us to know you. So thank you, Father. As we open your word this morning, would you, by your Holy Spirit, please speak to us? We sang this morning about open our eyes that we would see you, Lord, and I pray that now, Father. So come, Lord, and move now, that you would reveal yourself to us and that we would love you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to the book of John. We'll start chapter 6 this morning, John chapter 6. And chapter 5, it was the Sabbath, the festival or the feast of the Sabbath. It's not considered one of the three main feasts because it happens every week. So it's a little bit different, I understand, but it does paint the picture and create the foundation and the framework for the festivals. And so it's interesting that one came first, and now we're going to have passages throughout the next several chapters that focus in on the different festivals. And this morning's is going to focus on the festival of Passover, or the feast of Passover. Follow along as I read from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the five barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is God's word. We have here now Jesus continually to reveal who he is. He's showing forth himself. Everyone doubts him. Everyone disbelieves in him. That's how the book of John started. And so Jesus now is continuing through all these different ways to shout, proclaim to the people who he is. This passage begins in verses 1 through 4 with a crowd. The crowd comes to Jesus at the Passover. So we see this now. He crosses over the Sea of Galilee. This is up in northern part of Israel. It's interesting here. He also says it's also called the Sea of Tiberias. And in verse 4, he'll describe the Passover as a feast of the Jews. I take from that probably that he's expecting John, who's writing this, that some Gentiles, some non-Jewish people would read this and maybe not know the name of the sea as called Galilee. They'd have a different name for it. And maybe they weren't familiar with Passover. That's all possible. Oh, goodness. Sorry. oh, boy. So it is the Passover. He's crossed the Sea of Galilee now. And he goes up on a mountain and he sits down. And they say, it was the Passover. Now keep that in mind, because that's going to be important in a few moments here as we go on in this passage. John's not just giving us a date to hang, we can figure out how many years there were in Jesus, how many Passovers does he go through and all that. I don't think that's why he mentions it here. It's not just a data point, a fact. There's great purpose, I believe, behind that. And he sits down on the mountain with his disciples. It was typical in that day for the rabbi. It was reverse of how we have it here. The rabbi would sit down, and those gathered to listen would stand, actually. Doesn't seem very efficient to me. Seems much makes much more sense this way, I think. But anyways, that was a tradition. So that's when he's sitting down, that's a picture there of him being a rabbi, of him being a teacher to the people, of proclaiming the truth of who God is. The next section we see here, Jesus tests Philip's faith. So the crowd has gathered. Jesus looks at them and sees them coming, this large crowd coming towards him. And Jesus turns to Philip in verse 5 and says, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Philip's very confused. It's likely that Philip was actually from this area. It may have something to do with why he turned and asked Philip this. But it's interesting to me that Jesus is already, it says he did this to test their faith. He's already focusing on them growing in their faith. He wants to increase their faith. He wants to help them to understand who he really is and to believe in him, to put their faith in him, which as John describes means come and see and follow. come and see and follow Jesus. Well, Philip doesn't know how in the world we're going to feed all these people. Even if we had enough money, we couldn't buy enough for them. There's just no way possible to feed all these people. But then we see one of his other disciples, Andrew, Peter's brother, says, well, there's a boy here who's got 5 barley loaves, which means very poor. Barley loaves were the food of the poor. And he's got 2 fish, but what are we going to do? That's nothing. As we learn later, there's 5,000 people here. And Jesus says to them, have the people sit down. I find that moment so fascinating to me. I mean, picture you're there. You're on this grass, we learn later, it's a grassy mountain. A lot of times in Israel, when it says mountains, it's not like Mount Everest. It's more like a large hill or something. And you're there with 5,000 people. Could be more. It says men. We don't know if they were just counting the men or if that men is supposed to be more general. So it could have been 5,000 people total. Could have been more. I don't think it really matters here for what Jesus is trying to show. We're trying to declare. And Jesus says to you, look, you have no food that you can see, but have everyone sit down and tell them that we're going to feed them. I'd be like, that's awkward, Jesus. That's a little scary, I think, right? Because you still don't know where you're going to get the food from. Jesus didn't like produce a big pile of food and then say, everyone look here. Okay, now sit down. He tells the disciples to go throughout the crowd and tell everyone to sit down and get ready for food. Great. Delivery? DoorDash? Was it coming? No. No, we have no idea how it's coming, how we're going to go about it. And so now in this section, Jesus feeds the 5,000 in verses 9 through 13. The people sit down at the disciples' direction, and Jesus then takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he gives thanks to God the Father for it, and he breaks it and distributes the food out to the people. Is that language ringing any bells, right? Takes the bread, gives thanks to the Father for it, breaks it, and hands it to his disciples, right? We're going to hear those words again at the end of the service when we do communion. So there is a picture here of the Lord's Supper. There are some language here that is pointing to that. But I want to go back to what we said in the beginning. What feast is this the time of year for? It's the Passover. Do you recall what the Passover is remembering, what it's celebrating? It's okay, you don't have to answer. It's rhetorical. But think in your mind the answers. It's celebrating when God brought his people out of Egypt, right? It's on the 10th plague, where God had all of his people slaughter a lamb for a Passover meal and paint the blood of the lamb on their doors, which again, the blood of the lamb foreshadowing Jesus. And those people, the angel of death, would pass over and not affect them, but all other households that were, all the Egyptian households, God's judgment would come upon them. And God's people would be let go. And God's people came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, right? So this is all the Passover event. And if you think of this time period of God bringing the people out and what Passover is remembering, there are kind of 2 big things that this period in Israel's history and life are remembered for, are known for. The one is the crossing of the Red Sea, right? The parting of the Red Sea. Right? Think of the Passover, you think of that day, that night, that God parted the Red Sea and the people walked through it. Remember that for next week, Lord willing. The other thing, there's many things, but one of the big things was the people were out in the wilderness and they were grumbling because they had no food. And what did God do? He provided them with manna, which when put together and baked was like a bread. God provided the people with food. And the Passover recalls that. And I believe that is part of why Jesus is doing this particular miracle at the Passover. This miracle is God, Jesus, giving the people food, feeding them. Which is, that's on one level right there, right? He is physically providing for our body's needs of these people who have come to him. They don't understand who he is. Says that they came to him because they had seen the miracles he was doing, particularly with the sick. And now here's this picture for us. Remember the Passover, and at that time period, God provided food for his people. Now here's Jesus providing food for his people. Jesus is God. That's the connection there. There's also the connection. Remember the Passover and the Passover lamb? Well, we're going to see that later on as we go through, that Jesus is the lamb who is slain, which references back to the Passover meal. Also, this is all full of beautiful symbolism. So not only is he providing for their physical needs, he is showing them with these actions, with this miracle, that he is also the one who will give them life, eternal life, who will give them food leading to eternal life. Remember in John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman, Jesus said, I will give you living water that will well up within you to eternal life. Now he's saying, I'm giving you bread to feed you as God did, for I am God, which will enable you, bring you to eternal life. And in fact, we'll see later on in this chapter that Jesus uses one of his great I am statements to say, I am the bread of life. He's going to declare that overtly, specifically, to draw the analogy and put the analogy into words, the symbolism here, and put it into words. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this. I hesitate to even mention it. But it's just out there. So when I was younger, maybe after, when I was a young believer, maybe, I heard someone talk about this passage and say, well, maybe what happened here is here's a little boy who came forward and shared what he had. Said, here, Jesus, take this. And when the crowd saw a little boy giving up his lunch that he brought, then more and more people said, well, here, I have some loaves, and I have a fish, and I got some cookies. And then everyone kind of put it together, said, wow, look at this. We actually have enough to eat. And so the lesson then in that case would be that we should all give what we have or share with one another what we have, and then we'll all have enough. I think if that's what happened, God would have said so. He would have said, that's the purpose in this. The purpose is, therefore, share what you have with one another. That's nowhere in this passage. It's interesting, this was such an important event, miracle, in the life of Jesus and in the people witnessing that all four Gospels record this event. That's very unusual, actually, in the Gospels, to record all the same events. They kind of pick and choose for different purposes. But this is so important because it was a miracle. Jesus multiplied the food because Jesus is God, and God provides the food for his people. And the people understood this. Verse 14, the crowd believes he is the Messiah. This is what they actually believe. They understand what he's pointing to here, what he's saying. Verse 14, when the people saw the sign, meaning miracle, that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Now, this is also referencing back to the Passover and the time period after that with Moses as their as the leader, as he led the people in the wilderness, led them out of Egypt and led them into the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19, Moses is getting, you know, kind of close to the end of his life. Deuteronomy is the last book in the Torah. It's the fifth book in our Bible, but it's the last book of what our Jewish friends call the Torah, the law. And it's really a second telling is what it is. So Moses, he gets, in the beginning of Deuteronomy, he gets right up to the promised land. God said, for reasons for disobeying him, you're not going into the promised land. And Moses pauses his people before they go, and he retells their history and declares what it means that you're going to go into the promised land now after 40 years from our exodus from Egypt. And in that passage, God declares that I will send someday someone, a prophet like Moses. And that was the Messiah. That was understood all throughout Israel's history, that when God promised to send a prophet like Moses, it was the Messiah. So the people see here these connections of the Passover, God feeding the people, Jesus now feeding the people, multiplying miraculously food. They're remembering God's word that said he would send a prophet like Moses, and that's the Messiah. So the people see that here. They said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. But they had a wrong idea of what it meant, what the Messiah, who the Messiah was. And so in the final verse, Jesus withdraws from the crowd. It says that he perceived, he understood, he knew what the crowd wanted to do is to forcibly take him and make him king, make him a political figure that would get rid of the Romans primarily, the Herodians also probably, who were corrupt. And he said, this is not the way. This is not God's will. This is not. Battery's like dead. You know how many times in my life I say, I didn't do it. It wasn't.
Hello? Presence. All right. Jesus withdraws from the crowd because they don't understand who the Messiah is. They think the Messiah is there to lead the people politically. They think Jesus is going to say, follow me into battle against the Romans. Jesus says, follow me and come give your life for others and die because that's what I'm going to do. Follow me, for I am the Savior. I am God. Follow me with your life, not to political victory, but to eternal life. Come, believe in me, and have eternal life. The feeding of the 5,000 was to show people, and us also, as we read the testimony, that Jesus is God and he is the bread of life. That's what those I am statements are saying, right? They're so shocked when he said things like, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the resurrection. I am the bread of life. Because that word I am is the name of God. You don't say that. And he repeatedly said it, saying, I am God, and as God, I am the bread of eternal life. Come and partake of me. Jesus is the bread of life. We will in a moment come and partake of him in our celebration of the Lord's Supper. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for life that you have given to us through Jesus Christ, our natural life, but Lord, our eternal life. Thank you for feeding us, O Lord God. Lord, give us all faith to trust in you as a Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.